First John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, if you flip over to the book of John, chapter 15, starting with verse 12, we see what Jesus says about this. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus commands us to love one another. He commands us to love not only one another, but our neighbors and those around us. He says that if you say you love God and you don't love one another, you're liars. Amen? And this part about fear, perfect love casts out fear. And if one fears, he's not perfected in love. See, when we learn to love, it drives out the junk from our lives. This isn't this sweetheart stuff that's going on this week. You know, the little pink hearts and cards and the little candies and roses. And this isn't all about that. And I chose this topic today not so much because it's Valentine's Day this week, but because we need to understand what perfect love really is. And it has nothing to do with all this gushy-mushy stuff that goes on in the world. It has to do with perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And, you know, people are tormented all the time. And we tend to fear a lot of things that go on in life. Amen? We tend to fear sicknesses and diseases. We tend to fear all kinds of things that happen in life. How many people do you know that fear death? Oh, well, I can't do that. What would happen if I got killed? Well, what would happen? So what? You know? I mean, the Bible says you can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you. Oh, well, you know, but Pastor, yeah, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, I'm not talking about jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. You know, I'm not talking about being stupid, but I'm talking about walking where God tells you to go and doing what he tells you to do. Amen? I'm talking about doing the things that God tells you to do regardless of the circumstances he puts you through. I'm talking about loving people regardless of what they look like, smell like, or act like. Oh, well, but God might send me into a ghetto someplace. If God sends you there, he'll take care of you there. You might get killed out along the Ohio Turnpike just as easily. Ask Dr. Mundo if you ever see him again. Stopped his car to get out and change drivers. The guy pulled up and shot him. Turned out it was his wife's boyfriend. Or so it is alleged. I mean, you know, God will take you into places that you may not want to go in your flesh, but perfect love casts out fear. And we've got to stop being afraid to do what God tells us to do. All we've got to do is get correct direction and then move on it. Jesus laid down his life for all of mankind. And there's a lot of mankind not being reached because people are afraid to go reach them. Oh, what if God sent me to an Islamic country where you're not allowed to talk about Jesus? He'll protect you while you're there. And if he doesn't, so what? You just get to meet him quicker. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Starting with verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He became obedient to the point of death. Have we become obedient to that point yet? Or are we still not perfected in our love to the point where we would fear that kind of thing? Oh, well, Pastor, nobody ever asked us to hang on a cross. No, but they might ask you to go into a place where everybody's carrying a gun or a knife. That kind of love extends throughout the ages. That kind of love hasn't stopped. That kind of love has not stopped. As a matter of fact, it has grown. You know how I know it's grown? Because the body of Christ has grown. It's gotten bigger, not smaller. It's in every one of us. It's up to us to allow it to get out. See, we get the love of God in us, and it's up to us whether or not we just kind of hold it in and keep it in here, or whether we allow it out like we're supposed to. That love of God is supposed to be allowed out, because the more we allow it out, the stronger it will get for us. It's just like the anointing of God. You know, I always liken it to a water flow. If you back up water long enough, it'll get stagnant. But if you allow it to flow, it'll flow and flow and flow, and it washes away the corruption in your life. The same thing with the anointing. If you back it up, it'll get stagnant. But if you allow it to flow, it'll flow through you, and it will wash the corruption away. And it's the same way with the love of God. If you allow it to flow, it'll continue to flow, and it'll keep the corruption washed away from your life. Fear will go, junk will go, and all you'll do is walk in love. See, because God is love. So when you're walking in love, you're walking in God. That's when people begin to see God. Little girl was drawing a picture of God one day, and her teacher said, "What's the picture of, honey?" She said, "It's a picture of God." Teacher said, "Well, nobody knows what God looks like. How can you draw a picture of him?" The little girl said, "They will in a minute." They will if you walk in perfect love. They'll know what God looks like, because God is love. And when we walk in perfect love, then people will know what God looks like. When we allow the love of God to flow through us like a river of living water, that river brings life to everything it touches. That love of God even worked while Jesus was hanging on the cross. In Luke 23, we see that Jesus was hanging on the cross. One thief began to curse him. The other thief looked at him and said, "I believe in you." Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." The love of God was working while he was hanging on the cross. How many of us could do that? I ask. How many of us could love someone enough that we didn't even know, a thief, to love them while we're in absolute physical agony? But it was love that hung him there. Love worked while he was there. And it was love that reached into the pit of hell, defeated the devil, and brought him back out. And let me tell you, that's not a kiss mommy goodnight love. That is a power that is way beyond what most of us have ever experienced. But we can all get there if we learn to love. We can all get to that point. Why? Because, and I keep coming back, and back, and back, and back to this verse. I keep coming back to it, and back to it, and back to it. This verse, over and over again, I keep coming back to it. But you can do everything that I have done, because I go to the Father. John 14:12. You can do everything that I've done, and greater things than these, because I go to the Father. If Jesus can do it, we can do it, because he went to the Father and he's there making constant intercession for us. He's standing in the gap for you so that you can do everything that he did and greater things than these. Amen? Amen. God God could have let us die in sin. He could have let the world go to hell. As a matter of fact, he could have plunged it into hell with one word. Poof! But instead, his love saved us. Out of pure love, he saved us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God did beforehand that we should walk in them. He has saved us. He has raised us up together to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, not of ourselves, but in him. And we're seated there in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus in our spirits. Why? Because he loved us that much. He did not leave us just wandering around aimlessly waiting to die. But he has brought us to a place, a higher place, than we ever could have imagined. But we let our minuscule, and you notice I said our, not your, our, minuscule little minds rule us instead of our spirits that are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that are open to the universe, that are unlimited in scope, that can do all things through Christ, that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing is impossible with God. That's what the Word of God says. I didn't make this up, folks. I didn't write the book. I'm just reading it. All things are possible to them that believe. And everything that he has done, we can do in greater things than these. But yet we allow ourselves to think small. Oh, God, if you'd only give me $1 million, I'd be happy. That's like a drop in the ocean to God. See, we don't even think the way we're supposed to. We need to start thinking like God thinks, and that is a thought of love. When we start loving God to the point where nothing else makes any difference, then everything else will come. You know how I know that? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we start trying to think like God thinks, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we start trying to think like God thinks, his righteousness. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting with verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said unto me, unto whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. John recognized and knew that John, now this is John the Baptist, of course. John recognized and knew that Jesus was the perfect Lamb. And throughout history up to that point, it always had to be the perfect Lamb that was sacrificed. The lamb could not have a blemish on it. You know, it couldn't have a spot. It had to be a perfect lamb. Couldn't be crippled. It couldn't have anything wrong with it. It had to be the perfect lamb. And when John looked at Jesus, he said, look, there goes the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God. Because he knew that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And he was prophesying over Jesus that he was going to be the perfect sacrifice. Because the lamb was a sacrifice. The lamb was used as a sacrifice. And he knew that Jesus, who was God himself, was the only perfect sacrifice there could be. And yet the Word of God says we have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when we become the new creation. Folks, that makes us without any blemishes, without any spots. That perfects us. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know me. I'm not perfect. I didn't say your flesh. I said your spirit. I know about the flesh. I live in one. But God himself was the only perfect sacrifice that could set people free. There's so much pain in this world. It is overwhelming. Sit down and read any newspaper, any magazine. Watch any television news program. Listen to any group of friends talking. Even Christian friends. Just pay attention a little bit. There is so much pain in this world, it is overwhelming. And there's only one house in this world big enough for all that pain, and that is love. That is the only answer for all that pain is love. There is nothing else that will set this world free from all that pain than love. Nothing else. People can do all kinds of things, but it's only love that will set the world free from pain. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I'm starting with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is more than just talking. It's more than just romance. It's more than just holding one another. It's more than just two people. Love reaches out to everyone all the time. Love meets the needs of people wherever they are. To the best of your ability. And then leans on God to go beyond your ability and into His. Why? Because to the best of our ability doesn't get us far. Amen? But see, when we lean into Him, His ability will take us way beyond where we think we'll ever go. Let me tell you, I am here in this place today because of God's ability, because my ability would never get me here. In my ability, I'd still be collecting bills for a bank someplace. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? So what do you need to do? You need to have salt in yourself. Amen? See, we need to go out and have some salt in ourselves. We need to go out and salt the earth. You find that in Mark chapter 9, verse 50, by the way. And by the way, y'all are working from the same notes I am this morning, if you're looking at your bulletin. But what is it to have salt in yourself? Well, we see Jesus. He's our example, is He not? Should be. If you're looking at any example other than Jesus, you're looking the wrong way. I mean, I don't care who the man is you're looking at. If you're not looking at Jesus, you're looking the wrong direction. Go over to Mark chapter 5. Starting with verse 13. We'll see some salt. And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. There was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, had the legion, sitting, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them what had happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Salt. Cast the devil out of a demon-possessed man. Amen? Go over to where are we? We're in Mark. Go over to Luke chapter 5. I find this interesting. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 13. Salt. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmity. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Salt. Amen? Go over to John, chapter 5, verse 13. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus, sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Salt. Salt, salt, salt. Three writers in the same spot in their books showed us salt. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts it says, "Now consider Jesus of Nazareth, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil." Want to be like Jesus? Go around doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. And you can't do it without love. Because you can't beat the devil out of anybody. Preachers have tried it for years. It doesn't work. And you can't beat them up with the word either. It won't work. The only thing that works is love. Amen? Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for your love. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for supernatural revelation in this word today. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that supernaturally you would cause us to be able to see your love at work in our lives. And Lord God, that we would begin to love others the way that you love us. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that supernatural love that flows from you. Lord, that you would allow it to not only flow from you, but Father, that you would teach us to allow it to flow through us to others in a never-ending stream. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.